Thank you much, Miss Karen. Let's take our Bibles, if you will, please, and turn to Revelation chapter 21. Last book of the Bible, book of the Revelation. By the way, it's not Revelations. Just a little pet peeve, I guess. So, well, look in the book of Revelations. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ, the revealing of who Jesus is. Book of the Revelation, chapter 21, verse number 8, a familiar passage. We often, to be honest with you, we read this often during funerals, but the fact is, if you don't go to a funeral, you may not get this. So I thought I'd preach on it. No, it's not a funeral message, but it is it's a goodie. It is. Just a little thought that came to me the other day. And Revelation chapter 21, verse number 1. All right, here we go. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Now, we have had, all of creation has gone on. Life has lived. We've had the rapture of the church. We've had after that, we had the 7 years of tribulation. We've had the battle of Armageddon. And we've had the 1,000-year reign of Christ. There's a little time when Satan is loose just for a short time. And I don't know how in the world he could raise up an army during the 1,000 years when Christ is reigning, but he does. And then Jesus comes back, and then we come to this point, and he says, "And I saw a new heaven," verse 1, "and a new earth, for the first heaven, the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." So the all that we see right now, it says it in one verse, but everything we see right now is gone. It's gone. That fancy car you got in your parking lot, gone. It's rusted away by then anyway. But anyway, it's gone. After a 1,000-year reign, it's gone. It's gone. Anyway, it probably won't last around. Even a Chevy won't last that long. Now, Fords, you know they aren't going to be around a while. But I'm just laughing. I'll just give you a heart. I'm just trying to see if you're awake. And listen, I drive a Hyundai. Who knows? You know what I mean? But so all that we see in this world is gone. All the things we've been holding on to is gone. Ready? Grandma's heirloom lamp is gone. I remember when I was a kid, Mom had a lamp that sat on the piano. And it was her grandmother's. And I tripped over the cord. Broke the shade. Bless her heart. Tears came. She said, "Well, okay." Cleaned up the mess, threw in the trash, and that was it. I mean, I was, just a kid playing around, not thinking much about those kind of things. We've got one cabinet that sits on the upstairs, right on the top of the steps. It's a cabinet my grandmother, my mother's mother had. Sat in the back in the pantry, and I think they built the thing right into the corner, and they kind of put it right there. It wasn't screwed to the corner, but there it was. And every spring they painted everything a fresh coat of green. And so when they got rid of that, my Jan and I said, "Well, we'll take it. We're trying to set up housekeeping, so." You know, nowadays you go down to Wolf's Furniture and you buy the thing. Looks like it was all worn out to start with. But of course when we were doing it, you take that all off, and so we took off, and it was old lead paint. You know how that goes. And so we put the paint remover on there and took off a layer of green, and underneath was another layer of green. And so we put more paint remover on, we take off a layer of green, and there's another layer of green. I don't know, it was 6 or 7 or 8 layers of green. That's Grandma's cabinet, sits up the top, made out of wormy chestnut. Yeah. Well, the top part is. Because that was built by a barn builder. I mean, it wasn't very well made, but it's grandma's, it's wormy chestnut. You know, what do you do? We've got a cabinet down right inside the foyer, the front door of our house there. And it was a cabinet that my father's mother had owned and had set down in the dirt basement, the dirt cellar down there where you put the taters and everything to keep them cool, And it sat back there, and the back legs had rotted off the back of it, and this and that and other thing. And they asked if we wanted it, and I said, "Yeah." And so we made new legs. My grandfather had saved some lumber. And so by the time I got, my grandfather saved this lumber. So by the time I got the lumber was 100 years old. So I took this lumber and made the wood, the new legs to put around there, and found a board that was that big that my grandfather, I mean, it was that wide. You know how when trees used to be big enough to do something with. And we put it all together, and it all looks like it was made that way. It's great. It's my great-grandmother's. Things we hang on to. Not wrong, not bad. But the first earth, first heaven, passed away. Verse 2, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. By the way, I did my mother's mother's funeral. She had gotten saved when she was a little girl. I won't have her covered, but I'll have her. Verse 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle, the dwelling place of God, is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. Live right there with him. Verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death. Woo! There shall be no more death, neither sorrow. No one's dying, no need to cry. No sorrow, no crying, neither shall there be any more pain. That sciatica isn't going to hurt anymore. For the former things, the things of this earth, are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, of course we know who we're talking about, Jesus here, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. He says, listen, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. No more crying, no more sorrow, no more death, no more tears. I'm going to make everything new. Mark it down. You can count on it. Now see, we need to remember that he said, mark it down. Put it in black and white right here. Put it down. Because all the mess of this world is going to be gone. But also all the things we've been hanging on to that are temporal will be gone. But he says, I can make everything new. Verse 6, and he said unto me, it is done. What do you mean it's done? It's a done deal. It's done. It's over. Don't listen. No sense. I'm not changing my mind. We're not going to change the course. We're not going to do something different. We're not going to get down here close. And you've been counting on this all your life. And then we get to heaven. He says, you know what? By the way, I changed my mind. There's no bait and switch with God. He says, it's done. It's settled. It's good. It's the way it's going to work. It's done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. You can have eternal life. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Unless you choose not to be part of it. Verse 8, but the fearful and the unbelieving. You know what I think there when it says fearful and unbelieving? It says, I'm not willing to live that way. I'm not willing to live in hopes of eternal life. I'm not willing to live in a way that I'm looking for something to come. I'm going to hang on to what I have right here. But the fearful and the unbelieving and abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, which probably counts all of us there on that one. But look who he talks, look who the fearful and unbelieving are grouped with. It says, they shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You think the first death is bad? Make sure you avoid the second death. I've got plenty to talk to about, and I'm trying to make this short and sweet. Always wanted to do that. Haven't done it yet, but I always wanted to. Let's pray. And I'm going to talk on this topic, what a difference eternity makes. What a difference eternity makes. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, for the truths that are in it. We thank you for the promise of eternal life, the promise of a new heaven and new earth. And Lord, we're like a bunch of ants running around. The leaf falls down. We can't see where we're going. We think the world's falling apart. Lord, there's many things much greater beyond us, things that we don't even know about. And I think maybe the Lord didn't give us a whole lot of detail because we get so focused we wouldn't do our work down here. But on the other hand, we don't want to be so earthly minded that we're no heavenly good. We've got to keep our eyes on you, the author and finisher of our faith, but also the one that's going to carry us through eternity. Lord, I thank you for your promises. We know that you've marked them down. You said, write it down. It's done. It's all settled, signed, sealed. And Lord, we just wait for that day of redemption when our body becomes new in you as well. So Lord, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts. Lord, if be one here this morning that would like to know for sure if they died to go to heaven, and they don't know that yet, Lord, I pray this day will be the day of their salvation. Lord, we ask for your Holy Spirit to move, and we ask in Christ's name.
Amen.
You ever heard that saying that says, what a difference a day makes? You're going along, everything just seems just fine, and you've got everything lined up, you got it all put down, you've got life settled, you've got this plan and that plan, and another day goes by, and everything changes. Things happen. Sometimes things happen, we sleep on it. We see it in a different light when we wake up. What a difference a day makes. Sometimes we're living in anticipation of certain events. We may even be planning our future based on certain things occurring. We've got faith this is going to happen. And then the next day something happens and suddenly all those plans are really no longer relevant. None of those things apply anymore because of a certain piece of the puzzle is gone. And way too often we base our lives on temporary things as if they're unchanging and eternal things. We base our lives on this world, on these things, and we forget about eternity. We forget about there's something bigger about these 70 years we have on this world. And I was thinking, what a difference eternity makes. There are some unchanging eternal things. We may have not seen them yet, But are as sure as the first coming is Jesus, the second coming is here, and just as sure as the first coming of Jesus, we got a heaven to look forward to. We will not wake up one morning and these things will have changed or are no longer true. We need to live in the light of eternity. We live in a generation where heaven and eternity seem so irrelevant to most people. There are many who are enamored by the thought of heaven and have bought up all the books on the people who've died and gone to heaven and come back again. And I'm not making a ruling on those accounts, but I am making a statement that we don't need those accounts in order to bring us to the point where we live in light of eternity. We've got the book right here. Many in this generation think that it is unnecessary to think about eternity until our end is near. Eternity is relevant to everything we do. Everything we do should be done with eternity in mind. What happens in this life will most likely affect our eternal life. And going along with that, everything we do in this life should be done allowing eternity to affect it. If we truly believe in eternity, we should live in the light of eternity. Living in the light of eternity will change our perspective on our lives right now. Many people live a life of disappointment. I'm not saying they didn't have a good life. It is just that they didn't have the life that they designed for themselves. Disappointment occurs when we make an appointment for something to happen in our life, a particular thing, to come into our lives, and then it never shows up, and so we are disappointed. We hang on to temporal things as if they're eternal, and when we find out they're not eternal, We're disillusioned. We're all upset. We need to allow God to lead our lives. That is, we are to do the known will of God in our lives and follow His lead on those on the particulars and live for Him in this life as best we can with our real expectations set on the eternal life to come and not set on what we think this world is going to bring to us. Often the difference between a contented person and a discontented person is their perspective on life. Philippians 4:11 says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Even Pennsylvania. We got a couple who's visiting from Nebraska, and they're going to have to, looks like the military is moving them over in this way toward York and so forth, Pennsylvania. I'm not sure where they're all going to land up, but that's fine. But, you know, you pick up. And that really works for you all. You live in, say, about 3 or 4 years, and you move on. I was being content, whatever state I'm in, there would be content. But listen, you know what I'm, you know, I'm just trying to be facetious here. But he says, Paul says, I know how both to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere in all things. I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Now, this life takes on a much different light when we see it in the context of eternity. There are so many things that are seen differently in the light of eternity. Some things all of a sudden are really just fluff. Some things are just really not all that important when we see it in light of eternity. But the fact is, there are some things that all of a sudden we just kind of gloss over, we just glance by it, and all of a sudden we start seeing it in the light of eternity, we realize this is essential. This is important. This is going to make a difference for eternity. Listen, can you imagine two folks going walking down the street, both with an ice cream cone, one saved and one unsaved? And they're walking down the street, and the saved person drops his ice cream. Well, that's not nice. So he takes the unsaved guy's ice cream and takes it and goes with it. Now, it's kind of a silly little example. Now, what do you think the unsaved person is thinking about the saved person? Well, he's a thief. He's mean. He's nasty. And at the moment, maybe the saved person say, well, I just wanted an ice cream cone. Right now, the ice cream cone was the most important thing. He didn't realize that he might have just turned the heart of that person away from the Lord. And he just sent that guy to hell for the price of an ice cream cone. And that's kind of a weak illustration, but you see what I'm saying? Perspective. I want to cover a few of them today, a few perspectives, and Lord willing, you can, with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, apply them in your life specifically. Let me give you number one, real quick. Eternity makes a difference in my perspective on time. Eternity makes a difference in my perspective on time. Let me say this. Our physical life is short. We are almost halfway through 2017. I've just gotten used to writing the date 2017. Psalm 90, verse 9 says, for all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that's told. The days of our years were 80 years, if by reason of strength they be 80 years. That means 80 rather than 70. Yet in their strength, labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and they fly away. We fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fears is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. If we live in light of eternity, I mean, if you think about it, if we were to take a scale and put 70 pennies, well, let's give us a nice long, let's put 80 more on, let's put 80 pennies on there. And now on the other side, we're going to put 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 1,000, 60,000, 150,000, 1.5 million, 15 million. How can we ever hold the things of this world as if they carry the same weight and importance as eternity? Physical life is short. Eternal life is long. Duh. I think we forget about these things. Daniel 12:2. 12:2 says, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." See, this soul we have in us is going to spend eternity someplace. Now, where it spends eternity is our choice, because we have been given a choice. God has provided a choice. But it's going to be someplace. Now, if you're saved, you don't have eternal death, you have eternal life, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, not have that death, but have everlasting life. By the way, if you're here this morning, you don't know Christ as your Savior. You don't know for sure if you died to go to heaven. God says it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's nobody's going to get into heaven and say, "I was so good, he had to let me in." It's not going to happen. He'll give you eternal life if you'll take it. But you know, in taking, you say two things. One, I'm guilty. And two, I can't do a thing about it. Only my Savior can. Physical life is short, eternal life is long, but I have eternal life if I'm in him. And if I have eternal life, I'm just a pilgrim passing through. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. That doesn't mean it's so bad, I just want to go on to heaven. Listen, it's saying, listen, I'm not ready to go on the next load. But the fact is, I got nice things. I like nice things. There's nothing wrong to have nice things. But nice things are just nice things. They won't be here in the new heaven and new earth. My Corvette won't be here. Don't say amen. I was hoping to put it in the grave with me and take it along. No, you can't do it. Now, for folks who are visiting, it's an older Corvette. It's not worth as much as the car you're driving. But anyway, it's still a Corvette. I like it. It's fun to drive. It's good. But we're just passing through. Hebrews 11:13. You go back and read. This is the Hall of Fame of Faith. It says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." You go back and read that passage. They didn't have what we have, and we complain. It seems like the only time the water goes out in our house is on Sunday morning. Whether it's by the electric or something happens on Sunday morning, well, I'm going to get everybody out and get all cleaned up. You don't want me to come without taking a shower on Sunday morning. And I don't want to come without taking a shower on Sunday morning. It seems like, you know what? But we all were just about ready to fall apart. Can't believe that God did this to me. Well, these people didn't have indoor plumbing. They didn't have electric. And they served the Lord and they kept on going because of the promise. They saw the promise and embraced it. You know what we're embracing? A bunch of pieces of plastic. Cat jumps on the TV, knocks on the ground, and now you're out at your 60-inch flat screen TV is no good anymore. And we're about ready to kick the cat.
He'll fall on his feet anyway, right? Just throw him as far as you can. He'll land on his feet. Listen. I know. We all been there. It's just fluff. It's not going to be here in the new heaven and the new earth. Let me give you this. Time is something we should invest in order to positively affect our eternity. A different perspective on time. Ephesians 5:14 says, "Wherefore ye saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise," verse 16, "redeeming the time, because the days are a mess." They're evil. "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." If what I get in eternity is going to last a whole lot longer than what I'm going to live with here, then I had better make sure that I'm spending my time this side to give me something that's going to last longer than 70 years. I want something on the other side. I want to get up there and have nothing. And by the way, I won't miss my Corvette. There was so much other good. You say, what's up there? I don't know, but I guarantee it's going to be better than a Corvette. And whatever it is, it won't break down. Need to redeem the time. We need to rescue. That means to rescue from loss. I don't want to lose the time God has given me to prepare for eternity. If there is something we should be doing with our life, we had better be doing it. We don't have eternity to do it, but we're going to have eternity to live with the results of what we did with it. We will live with the results of those decisions for eternity. James 4:13 says, "Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we will go and city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we will live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." He's basically saying for me, it's a sin for me to waste my time on this side when I could be doing something that's going to be of value in eternity. Eternity changes my perspective on time. Let me give you number two. Eternity makes a difference on my perspective on trials and tribulations. Eternity makes a difference on my perspective on trials and tribulations. You know, I'm not making light of hurt and pain and all those kind of things, and it's hard. But the fact is, we get to looking at those things, and there it is. It's like it's the only thing we can see. There's nothing else in the world but my trials and my tribulations. But you see, when I look beyond the moment and realize there's an eternity, there's a whole lot more things going on around me. There's a whole lot more blessings. And the fact is, not only that, I'm not looking for... I don't want to live through a mess here. You know, I'm not scared of death. I'm not real crazy about dying. Being honest with you. Now, as far as I know, I'm not going to the next load. I don't have anything that I know of. But it's going to happen one of these days. But there's eternity. We say, well, I got married young and this happened, that happened, and it's just a mess. And it's just not like it was supposed to happen. This is not what I dreamed. Yeah, but you know, when you get to heaven, it'll be more than you dreamed. But this is what I wanted. You know what? When we're in heaven, you're going to forget that when you're there a half an hour. Maybe not that long. Romans 8:18 says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." He says in Romans 8, he says a little further down, he says, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life," and he goes on and on, shall separate us. Physical death doesn't separate us from the love of God. You're not losing everything when your body stops ticking. If you know Christ as your Savior, you just got on the victory side. You just got nothing. None of us want to go in the next load. I understand. But, you know, the fact is, there is eternity. I think the way we suffer through trials is a grand testimony to our faith in Christ and eternity. You mean I'm not allowed to complain and hurt? No, I didn't say that. But I think somebody who walks with God can see past the pain, see past the hurt, see past the temporal issues, can see past the persecution of others, knowing that when we suffer Him, we will also reign with Him. I think we will see it for a whole different light. In fact, to tell you the truth, we can endure issues when we realize eternity. You know, you can put up with almost anything for a little while. When I got ready to, when I was 30 years old, I went off to college to seminary. I had been to college for a music degree, but kind of a late bloomer. Boy, once I started blooming, it was. But anyway, I was kind of a late bloomer. But I had a wife and two kids, and we were going to go to. We were going to move out to Chicago. I was going to go to college out there. And I knew that I was going to go to school all day. I was going to have to work all night. And I get about 4 or 5 hours of sleep. You know, and you just do what you got to do. And I'd been a school teacher. I was never really the tough guy anyway. And I was going to work on a loading dock and unload and load tractor and trailers. That's what I was going to do. And the first day I was there, I was sweating like a pig. And these young guys, I was 30, these other young guys, oh, old man, huh? It's a little rough around here to actually do a little work for once, isn't it? You know, I was 30 years old, and they called me the old man. So we know how old they were. But you know what I said? I was going to go and get a second bachelor's degree, and so I was really getting the Bible part of my degree, kind of like a double major. So I was going to be out there for 10 months. I got to do the work and a dissertation and all this stuff, but it was for 10 months I get my bachelor's degree, and I thought, well, I'm going to be a music director, so it'll be fine. And I later got my master's and my doctorate and earned all those so I can do what I do now. But the fact is, I thought, well, I can do this for 10 months. You know what? I can do this for the next 40 years. 30 years, I guess, makes me 87. Boy, I'm really getting optimistic here, aren't I? I can do this for the next 30 years, no matter how bad it goes, because it's not forever. But I am going to get to do something forever, and it makes the time and the temporal kind of fade away. It's no big deal anymore. Revelation 21:4 says, "And God shall wipe away all tears." Talking about trials and tribulations. "To wipe away all tears from your eyes, and there should be no more death." We've got several folks in here just recently lost their spouse. So what am I supposed to do between now and time I go home? Just serve the Lord. It won't be long. It's okay. But make the most of what you got left. But we've got eternity to look forward to. "No more pain, for the former things are passed away." And he said, "He that sat upon the throne," the one who has the authority, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, says, "Behold, look at me. I make all things new." And then he said unto me, "Write that down. For these words are faithful and true." There may be sickness here, but there isn't any eternity. There may be pain here, but none in eternity. There is death here, but none in eternity. There is sorrow here, but none in eternity. There are tears here, but they shall be wiped away in eternity. 2 Corinthians 4, Paul says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest
in this body. I want them to know that I'm not living in the death part. I'm living in the life part. And they can see it on this side of eternity. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Listen, Arthur, sometimes you're saying, you're killing me here. You're killing me. He said, yeah, well, so everybody can see Jesus. But I've got to have to put up with this for 10 years. He said, I know, and you're going to get to put up with the fruit of it and the blessing of it for eternity. You see, eternity makes all the difference. What a difference eternity makes. We see death differently. Many think that if someone dies, they're losing. It could be they just won. Sometimes we think that death is a failure. But the fact is, death can be victory. We sorrow not as those which have no hope when we live in the light of eternity. That's what it says in 1 Thessalonians. And in 1 Corinthians 15, it says, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? We see the future differently. 2 Timothy 2:9, Paul, end part of his life, says, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, for their sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. And if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. And listen to me. He's saying, listen, you might have to give up some things on this side. You might have to be uncomfortable. You may have to be inconvenienced. You might even have to die so that others can see Christ. But then when you get to heaven, you get to welcome them at the door. Amen. And they say, you know what? I would have never done this except I saw your faith by what you did that day. And I knew it was real. And that was the point when I said, I'm going to make sure I understand what this salvation thing is. Boy, we got to get going. Eternity makes a difference in the way we see time, the way we see our trials and tribulations. Real quick on this one. Eternity makes a difference on our perspective on triumphs. Triumphs. Paul says in Philippians 21, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy and faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. We may think we failed, but it may be exactly what was needed for someone else to have the victory. But you see, when we give ourselves to have the victory so they can have the victory, when you get on the other side, you get the victory. You'll see it. Philippians 3:4 goes on and says, though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof that he might trust in the flesh, I more, Paul says, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of the Hebrews, touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted for loss. I thought I was winning. You ever see that bumper sticker, he that dies with the most toys wins? He that dies with the most toys is still dead. And he didn't get to take any of them with him. Now what if he was out hunting for toys to win the race on Sunday morning and didn't have time to take his kids to church to hear about Jesus, and now they're sitting in eternity what he is. But Junior never got there. But Junior learned how to hunt for toys. He knew the ball game, knew all the scores. You had a great time when you were here for 70 years. But now we're going to spend eternity and we're going to sit in heaven. And he, well, we thought we won. We didn't win. We lost. But the fact is that we lose it all for his sake. We win. Let me give you one more. It goes right along with that. Eternity makes a difference on perspective, on treasures. Our time, our trials, our triumphs, and our treasures. Let me say this first, along with that. My citizenship is in heaven. I'm just passing through. You know what? I don't want to stay here for eternity. Not the way it is. Oh, that's right. He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. So it's not going to be like it is. No more death, no more dying, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more tears. My citizenship, Philippians 3:20 says this, for our conversation. Now, that's that old King James word. It's a good word. But it means our way of life. Our citizenship, our homeland. Thus, our customs of life come from heaven. For our conversation, our way of life is from heaven. When I grew up down in Maryland, all the local churches would have, you know, fundraising dinners and so forth. And they would have oysters and ham. And my dad would go to there, and just like Darren goes to eat fish, he would go to eat oysters. Yeah, he'd eat those oysters, and some of them, I don't think they were quite dry yet. You know what I mean? But he'd eat those oysters. He'd just eat those oysters, put a lot of ketchup on them. They're fried, a lot of grease and all that kind of thing. Eat those oysters and eat those oysters. And we'd go to, our little church would have an oyster supper. Up here was hog maw. You know where that comes from? Sounds bad enough just listening to it, but you know what it is, that's even worse. But that's the way it is here. This is the way of life here. There was a little different with the way of life down there. And when we moved up here, you know, almost 14 years ago, you know, there were some things I had to get used to. You go to the restaurant and say, "You's all right?" The waitress comes up there, what can I get you? What? Use guys. Then it's plural, use guises. What is that? You know what happens? All of a sudden we realize that's home. And some of this, and I'm just being funny. You know that. I love you all. We're glad you're here. I've even said use a couple times. I think I was on cold medicine or something at the time. But we're going to get so comfortable with the things of God that we're almost out of place down here. You know, they're getting so involved in this and this and this. And well, go ahead. Listen, there are things I grew up with I thought was just so important. Dad passed away about 4 years ago. And, of course, we went through his things. And I started pulling things off the shelf. He had almost like a museum with his antique car things. I mean, really, it did look like a little mini museum. And we'd pull things off the shelf. Oh, I remember playing with that as a kid. And all of a sudden, mine rushed back. And I thought, how important these things were. And I got a few of them. Got some little electric motors he had. And I used to get them going, get a little, you know, 6-volt dry cell, you know, and make them go. And I've got, we took a few of those. They're on my shelf in the house there. And I had a lot of people say, well, which of the cars you're gonna take? Well, I remember riding around his 1908 Maxwell. remember that when I was 4 years old. We drove from Maryland to Gettysburg over to Hickory Bridge Farm one morning for breakfast. It was cold. I mean, cold as ice. And I'm no windows, no windshield. You know, 19.8 Maxwell, and I'm hiding behind the back seat with this thing on, you know, this, you know, all the way. I'd love to have kept it. 19.4 Maxwell. I remember, 19.4 Oldsmobile, curved dash Oldsmobile, and Jack and I, we were young, and sometimes we would take that little tour in Gettysburg. They would take over the battlefield. And we got a picture of us, and Sterl, my oldest son, who's 31 now, was about 3, and we were holding him there, and you're wide open. I mean, just wide open. You got a little tiller you're steering this thing with, and a one-cylinder engine going, a-doom, 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 you know, and it was a lot of fun. And I said, well, maybe I should keep that one. And we had this, and here, I remember I saw the first engine that I restored with Dad when I was 8 years old. I said, what are you going to do with this? You know what? I don't have storage area here. Well, don't you want to keep it? Yeah. But I got a storage area in heaven. Amen. And I want to fill it up. Amen. I got four kids that are saved. Amen. They're going to be up there with me. Amen. We got four grandkids. None of them are old enough to get saved yet, but I tell you what, there's some treasures there. Amen. I want to get. Don't get this wrong. I got a little book that I keep in my office. I write names down when I lead them to the Lord. Sometimes I've forgotten a few, but I like to go back and be able to say later, because I have a terrible memory, going back and say, when they pass away, and I can say, you know that, you know what, it was June 2004, whatever it was, led that person to the Lord. You know where they are? They're in heaven. Your treasures change. Now, I did keep Dad's Corvette. And I like it. That's why I have it. And we get out and drive it. And they say, someone said, we ought to go to, you know, they have Sunday afternoon things. They go out with all the Corvette Club. And I'm not upset if you're going to go do that. But I come back for choir practice. And I want to be in good shape, so I go home and take my sanctified nap. That's why I preach so long on Sunday night. But I want to come back because the Corvette isn't going to heaven with me. But you are. And it could be you get to bring some others with you. Our home's in heaven. I got to stop. Eternity changes my perspective and what I consider to be a treasure. The values of our treasures change. You ever watch the Antique Roadshow? They come on now, they'll say, this is what it was. And then it says, that was in 2003. Now it's worth. And sometimes it goes, wah, wah. They lost half the value. My wife always says, it's only worth as much as someone's willing to pay for it. Somebody treasures it more. I'll be honest with you. There's probably some things I let go a little cheap that my dad had. You know why? Well, cousin so-and-so wanted it. And they always liked my dad. And so we'll give them an extra good price on it. You could have gotten 3 times as much for that, I know. But it's one less thing for me to have to haul around. One thing less. Because the fact is, in 30 years, maybe 40, probably not, I'll be in heaven. It's going to be down here. In fact, I think the Lord's going to come. We're all going to go up. But anyway, it's not going to be down here. What a difference eternity makes. Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts here this morning. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us put things in perspective. So much I wanted to say. We're going to do so much. We don't want to start eternity here in the church service. So Lord, I thank you for the promise we have. And Lord, help us to put things in perspective. Our here and now is really not worth as much as we might have thought when we compare it to eternity. Our heads are bowed.